Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast, the place to be for drama teachers, drama students, and theater educators everywhere. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello! I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Welcome to episode 141. You can find any links for this episode in the show notes at theaterfolk.com/episode141. Okay, so I feel like I am working on a theme here. It's totally by accident. No intense planning or strategy. Just the people who I managed to get to talk on the podcast, and we seem to have another podcast that will make you think about the question, what motivates you for your students? And I won't lie, I really love this question, and I have been, it's been awesome. I've been head over heels with the answers. So in this podcast, you are going to meet Emily and Jennifer, two teachers at Northwest Middle School in Flowood, Mississippi. And they participated in a massive cross-curricular project, plays, music, dance, and involved every teacher and every subject at their school. And add to that, they used this project as a fundraising opportunity. Beyond amazing. So I should stop talking, right? Yes, I think so. Yes, Lindsay. Okay, so I'm going to leave you with this. The arts do not have to be isolated. So let's get to it. All right, so I am here and I am talking to, as opposed to there, I am talking to Emily Wright. Hello, Emily.
Hi, Lindsay.
And Jennifer Freeman. Hello, Jennifer.
Hey, how are you?
Awesome. So first off, tell everybody where in the world you are.
We are in Flowood, Mississippi. Our school is Northwest Rankin Middle School.
So you guys have had, you had quite the year last year with a really interesting and unique project, which I can't wait to sort of share with everybody and get everybody into it. So I guess where it started last summer, didn't it?
It did, yes.
Yes, because it sounds like, so it sounds like you guys, so the whole entire school had to read a book.
Correct.
So what is that a common thing that it's like, is that common?
This was the first year that it was incorporated with the entire school. Our middle school is 7th and 8th grade. And this was the first year that both grades read the same summer reading book. The book was A Long Walk to Water. And it was about the Sudanese Civil War and the need for clean water in that region. And so every discipline was tasked with incorporating the book some way into their curriculum. And we fortunately found the play that Robert McDonough wrote, The Walking Boys, which was based on the story of Sal Vidette from A Long Walk to Water. So our awesome administration just posed the idea of, hey, let's read it, let's incorporate it into our lessons. And we then did a fundraiser, all different kinds of fundraisers throughout the year to raise money to build a well in South Sudan.
So there's two things going on here, which are two amazingly huge things that seem to all kind of meld together with your school. The first being a completely cross-curricular project based on a text, but then also a fundraising project. So we'll talk about each separately. So I just want to start with the whole cross-curricular thing. So when did you guys know that you had to incorporate this book into your lesson? Was it before the summer? Like, how long did you have?
It was. As we were closing for the school year last year, the principals and the English department presented it to us to get us geared up for the summer. We were going to read it. The students were going to read it. And then we were going to have this, you know, great big goal for the end of the year to raise, I believe the initial goal was $8,000 to build a clean water well. So we went into the summer of 2014 knowing what our goal was for the following year.
So Jennifer, you are the chorus choral teacher, music teacher?
Yes, ma'am. I'm the choral director here at Northwest Rankin Middle.
Okay. So I'm going to start with you because we're talking about taking a text, and I know that Emily found a play that was able to incorporate this text for her part of the project. So how did you decide to take a text, take a book, and incorporate it into your music class, your choral class?
We looked at, I kind of searched for African style music to see how could we incorporate it. It was really hard to find text and songs that were written in the Sudanese language, but I wanted my students to be able to have an opportunity to sing in a different language, but I'll also have it mean something and incorporate it into the song. And we had an all-boys choir that was new this year. For us, I had 17 boys that signed up for an all-boys choir, and we looked at some pieces, and the one we chose was called Kawana Wanjipi, and it was just a song that had the African rhythm, but it also had a really good text to it that helped our students, you know, correlate. For it was talking about water, and it was talking about thanking them for the water, and I think just within the African culture and within that continent, you know, water is a precious commodity. And so it really was a way for us to tie that musically into the play. We didn't write additional text just for the play, but we did incorporate the drums. And my choir ended up becoming the actors. They became the lost boys within the play, which really touched them. It built such camaraderie within my classroom because this was a group of students who came from all different walks. We had football players. We had really strong academic students. We had students who, out of my 17, I think 7 of them had IEPs for whether it was ADHD, dyslexia, you know, students that were just not traditionally going to participate in a theater activity. And this really brought these students together in a way that Emily and I never dreamed would happen. They became the Lost Boys, but then they became a band of brothers that have walked this play, and many of them had not even read the text. I think part of it might have been socioeconomically. They came from very different backgrounds, weren't able to either A, purchase the book, or B, I think academically they weren't. Some of them were not the ones that were going to run out and, ooh, I'm going to go read the summer reading book. And they were struggling in their English classes. And all of a sudden, this book became their life, their first semester. And they portrayed the actors and fell in love with it. And by the end of the school year, they were probably one of my closest knit classes that I had. So we just really looked at different ways of tying it in together.
Right. And we may not have shared this with you initially, Lindsay. I had my Theater 2 students were doing this project. And of course, we're always struggling for more male actors in theater. And so when we realized we were going to do this play and we needed more boys, I said, Jennifer, can we, you know, combine forces and use your boys' choir? And so most of these guys, like she said, had never been on stage before, singing, of course, but not acting. And my kids that had 2 years of experience or more, it was so neat for them to bring them in and have us all work together on not a musical piece. Of course, there was the great song that we all learned and worked with together, but it really was genuinely a theatrical piece. And these guys became part of it. And like Jennifer said, it was so neat to see the camaraderie. And I think for our school, the students had read the book. And, you know, here we are, we're doing all these fundraisers. But when we put it on stage and they got to see it and, you know, Salva's story really came alive. It was such a special experience for all of us.
It's just amazing, isn't it? Like, you know, because when we're talking about what is the value of the arts in the classroom, this is a living, breathing example of how do we take, you know, 17 kids who maybe not know each other or don't come from the same background, and all of a sudden they're living a story. And even if they didn't, you know, even if they didn't read the text, you know, in depth, and they didn't get into the close reading, and they didn't get into the studying of the structure or whatever, they've learned.
Right.
Right.
Right. It's so beautiful. You know, we've tried to get our students to think more globally. You know, we've explained the whole time, you know, here are these children that are your age that are journeying through their homeland, just trying to find refuge from the Civil War. And, you know, when they realized they were the same age as Salva and these other boys, you know, we're like, just imagine. So it became so personal for them that I think that they knew they had to reach the goal of raising money for this well, because I hate to give away the story if one has not read it. So spoiler alert, but just such a blessing that Salva Dutt, he survived the Civil War, made it through various refugee camps, eventually becomes adopted by an American family, graduated college, decides he is going to go help his homeland and help get clean water to South Sudan. He finds out his parents are alive, they reconnect, and he is now back over in Africa with this nonprofit organization building wells. And so our hero of the story, it was so personal to do it for him. You know, he survived, he fought. We just knew we had to raise this money to honor what he went through and so many of his countrymen went through.
Yeah, and I'm going to make sure that, so the book is called, again, The Long Walk to Water, and it's by Linda mm-hmm. Sue Park. And then the play that these guys did is The Walking Boys, Robert McDonough. I'll make sure then in the show notes we've got links to information for both the book and the play.
Great.
And because you also sent me a couple pictures. I just think it's just so, it makes it all very immediate. Do you think that is the key to getting students to connect to literature, is because it's something that is, it is relatable, even if it's in a place that they can't even imagine, it's their people the same age. Is that important?
Right.
I think it's really important. I think for my boys, with two of them being dyslexic and not having access to the book visually, that they, you know, struggled even being able to read the words within the book, that when they actually portrayed the book and they became actors within the play, it became real to them. And when they actually saw the photographs that I believe that Emily had sent you of the well actually being built and seeing their mark and what they did, they came to tears. I mean, in April, when the well was built, I believe it was in April 27th, you know, I put it on our screen in the classroom, and it became ownership for these boys. And so for them to be able to, you know, several of them not be able to read it in a way that most of us would be able to read the text and read the literature and have us visually see it because we're not struggling over the words. For my students that were dyslexic, being able to feel the book and portray the book, it became real to them. And even when we were studying their lines, I had, you know, my two boys, one of them had a fairly big part in the play, and he would come in the mornings and memorize it, but work with me and say, okay, you know, and I would read it to him, and then he would be able to go back and read it. So it became a cross-curriculum technique where we were able to be able to bring the text and make it real for them, but help them in their literacy and help them in their comprehension of this book. It crossed every aspect of what education should be doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that as educators is what we should be doing, is making our performances real to our students and helping them with their, you know, if they have learning disabilities, helping them overcome those and become successful and feel like, wow, they'll never forget it. They will never forget that experience in their entire lives. They still talk about it in the summer when I see some of these students. You know, it's forever ingrained in them.
Well, and you know, when everyone is struggling with this model that seems to be happening, where it's the standardized testing and standardized
right.
this, and everyone must take the standard
right.
to find a doorway to your struggling students to let them have as good as an experience with a piece of literature as someone who can read it, because people learn differently, and I don't understand why that is something that doesn't seem to hit home. And I know I'm talking to the crier, so but
absolutely,
you know, like I just think that's the most wonderful thing, like to have success with those two students and with all your students. Mm-hmm. I just love when you said to help them feel the book. I just think that's I love that. Okay. Can you tell me a couple of, so this was across the board, so across the school, what were some of the other things that were brought into, how did other areas experience the book?
Well, we had our art teachers design beautiful African art to be hung on the wings of the stage for us, opening up at the opening of our school, the entranceway. So the whole school felt it, you know, it almost felt the theme of the year. You know, our science teachers probably dealt more with the water portion and the clean water project. I know math teachers used it within equations, the actual footsteps of the walk from their homeland to the refugee camp to make it personal. Even the PE classes incorporated, you know, the walking part of it. Because like we say, the book is called A Long Walk to Water. And in that, she talks about these boys being called the Lost Boys. And I think typically that's how we've heard of them. But Robert makes the point in his play, they weren't lost. They lost their homeland. They were forced away from it. So they called themselves the Walking Boys. So I think, you know, we kind of changed that as, you know, we had started the year as the Lost Boys, and then we realized, no, they were the Walking Boys to survive. They continued to walk. So it was amazing to see, like you say, all these different curriculums tie it in some way, that it became personal to everyone, not just the theater or the music or the art students. And we have to give a big shout out to our principal from last year, Mr. Jacob McEwen. We tasked him with being Salva's father, and he really stepped up and did a great job for us. He had never been on stage, but we just knew he had to play this role, and he did it so well. So everyone was involved.
I think that's awesome. That's the way you do it, man. Take your principal and stick him on stage.
I know. He's such a sweetheart.
He was so scared. And the boys, what was so neat is the young men who played Salva. We had two different leads that played Salva because we split up the theater classes. And what was neat is they would work with him and they'd help feed him his lines. And he was so nervous. He would just be shaking. And we had a bicycle that he had to carry. Part of the scene was he had to have a bicycle because he was coming back from market. And at first we put the lines in it because he was like, I don't know if I can remember these. I mean, he is so humble, and he was a former special ed teacher, and he was just so nervous to get up on stage, but he knew he needed to do this for the students and for the kids, and he loved every minute of it. But it gave him an understanding of what we do as arts teachers. It really let him live our lives and see, wow, you know, this is amazing. I think so many times when we're teaching the electives as arts teachers that they're like, oh, that's not a real subject. But when they actually experience what we're doing, they're seeing how we're touching lives and we're teaching through the arts. And that's so important. And he really got to, tap into that. And the whole student body got to see him. And they were just like, wow, look at, there's Mr. McEwen. And they'd all just kind of giggle because he was so nervous. But our students and our actors really embraced him. Mm-hmm. And he became part of the cast. He was no longer the principal. He was part of the cast. Mm-hmm. And he got to feel that camaraderie that we get when we're on stage. And as performers, when we have that opportunity, it becomes a family. And he got to experience that. So I think that was really neat for us to see him embrace that. And he loved it. I mean, he was nervous. And he was like, what did I agree to? But then once he finished it, he felt so like, it was an accomplishment for him personally. He overcame some of his own fears. So it was neat to see that happen and to watch that, the interaction between the students and him.
I think that is the most fabulous idea. I mean, so often, you know, I talk to teachers and they live in compartments, mm-hmm. you know, like the school is not a community and it is very much an us against them mentality. And so how do you think that you guys have been able to, as a school, with your administrators, been able to form this community where you can do a cross-curricular project, where everyone can be on board and on the same page?
Well, I think especially with this, we knew how important it was. Our motto, our mascot for Northwest Rankin Middle School is the cougar. And so our motto last year was leave a paw print. You know, how can you make a difference? And so I think everyone knew we're working to such a noble goal, you know, to give back and help. And so I think that's what brought us together so much as a school last year. But I think we do have a great administration that, you know, they support us. They, you know, and it just, the other teachers support one another. It's really a great place to work. And I think in the arts, we know we're not isolated and we know how important combining and collaborating is, that I guess we don't give people much choice. We're just like, hey, you're going to work with us. And, you know, I think, like you said, going back to, you know, how so much is becoming standardized testing and we've got to feel, you know, answer it this way and write it this way. We know in the arts how children learn differently and their strengths. And I think the kids don't realize they're learning because they're having so much fun. it's been great to put our kids out there for others to celebrate and see that they're successful when maybe academically they don't always in their other disciplines, but they could shine in this play.
And I think at first, too, some of the teachers were hesitant. You know, I have to give a shout out also to Christina Davidson, who was yes. our English teacher, who really kind of put this in the forefront of the school, and she kind of chaired the whole committee and was the one who worked with H2O for Life is the nonprofit organization that helped us build the well, and she was the liaison for them. But, you know, not every English teacher was on board at first, and not every teacher, you know, they were like, oh, you're going to mess up my curriculum. You know, I do this every year, and we get stuck in our little boxes. And I think as artists, we look outside the box. And when we started bringing the play, and I was working, because some of my boys really were falling behind in English, I worked with their English teachers, and I said, you know, we had to pull them out of some of their English classes, I would make time in my classroom to help them with their other English projects and bring them together and really start talking with the teachers. You know, I think if we make them part of the team and we let them understand your subject is as important as ours. And when I'm not doing a performance and I'm not doing a competition and I look at my students' grades and I tell them academics come first. You know, it's a blessing that you get to learn a hobby and learn a gift and something that will stay with you for life in the arts. But you have to have the academics to stay in the arts and to go to college. You have to have that. So I'll tell my students, if you're falling behind in a classroom, you'll get pulled out of the class you want to be in, and that's mine, and we're going to go work on those academics. So it becomes a partnership with these core academic teachers to let them understand that, yes, I understand your subjects are important and standardized testing is important in the long term, but these arts is what gives these students an outlet. So that is built over time, and I think our teachers have built that. But when they saw this play, it gave them a whole different understanding, and I think it was an education overall for all of the faculty here at the school, because we have over 975 students at our school. And so there, you know, we have a pretty big faculty and administration just at the beginning of the year. So this is what we're going to do. And we all just reeled in and, you know, some of us were kicking and screaming, but when it was done in April, when we saw that well built, I think it was kind of just our kids were walking around saying, wow, I can't believe we did that. I can't believe I had a part in that. And so that, I don't know, I think that was kind of what made it build those bridges. Mm-hmm. You've got to build the bridges with your academics or you're always going to feel like you're an island upon yourself.
I think that's a great point. I think that's a lovely point, too, is that you are all, it is a team. Mm-hmm. And it's in it. And I think I love the concept too of, you know, that's another thing we hear is that the kids today, they're not like they were before. And I'm like, no, I think we can encourage them to be globally minded and yes. It's all in us. It's in, mm-hmm. and it's in them. And I think that is just what a fantastic thing to imprint on them, that they can make a difference.
Right, right. And I think a teacher had told us throughout this process, you know, sometimes we think, oh, they're young and they can't do this. And, you know, they sat back and said, I can't believe they put on a performance like this. And, you know, you just go in with those high expectations and they rise up to them. Mm-hmm. They bring the best ideas. You know, we had four or five really strong dancers and we allowed them to create elements of dance. And, you know, there were ways we thought, oh my goodness, how can we have this lion attack and not make it comical? Well, the dancers were like, we're going to do it through dance. So the kids brought so much to yeah. it. It wasn't just, you know, Jennifer and I, we're the directors and you're going to follow us. It was so collaborative from them. And, you know, again, we can't give enough credit to Robert and his support and generosity. And then when we knew he was coming to the show, I went into a whole different level of stress. My kids are like, oh my gosh, you're Dragon Lady when it's showtime. And I'm like, well, I'm super Dragon Lady now because, you know, the playwright is going to be here. We want to honor his work. But most importantly, I think the whole time they knew we've got to honor Salva and the Walking Boys and this story. It's too important. And, you know, unfortunately, like we've tried to remind them there is so much suffering in the world. You know, it's not just this one story, but let's highlight it and highlight that Salva, he wasn't bitter from the journey. He went on to do so many wonderful things to show love. And so I think that was such an important point to this story, was that even though all the trials, he fought for good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the students also had the opportunity to throughout the process over the year, we had one of the actual lost boys who actually went to Mississippi State University. He came and spoke to some of the English classes in the eighth grade. And so they got to actually ask him questions. What was it like when you were traveling across Africa and starving? And when he made my son was an eighth grader last year, and the one thing he brought back, he said, well, Mom, that they got five beans for the week. That was all he had to eat was five beans. And to have the humanity of it. And then some of the students here, we had a club, Students for South Sudan, and they actually got to speak to Salva directly. They interviewed him, and so they did Skype with him. They made it real to mm-hmm. the students. It wasn't something that was fictitious and made up. They made every aspect of this tangible to our students. And then when Robert came to see the play, he actually met with our students and our actors, and they got to interview him and touch a play. You know, I mean, they were able to interact with the playwright, and they got to see his emotions. I mean, I don't think every time he saw the play, I think we did five times, he cried during every performance. I mean, every aspect of the play was different to him, and for him to see these students bring his work to life, but how... You know, these are seventh and eighth graders. Sometimes we think, oh, they can't do it. They can. And they provoked emotion. And as actors, that is our job as performers. If we can move our audience, whether it's to joy, to tears, but make them feel that they experienced what we did, we've done our job. And to teach that to students and to let them witness that and to see that, it's why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so hard as educators to understand it, get that. We love what we do. Obviously, otherwise we wouldn't do it. But to let our students experience that and then to teach them how to do that, they get on fire and they're like, man, I want to do this. We even had some of our students from the choir class actually decided, I want to take theater. This is what I want to do. And some of our theater students who had never auditioned for choirs auditioned for the high school choirs and became on the top choir because they were like, why haven't you been singing? But they never had that opportunity to sing. It wasn't just my boys going out of their comfort zone right. acting. Right. It was the actors getting out of their comfort zone and singing. And it really... It opened their eyes as performers to say, you know what? I love this. This is what I want to do. And that's you know, I think Emily and I, that's our job is, as any educator, is to teach our students to love something that they're going to do. And we were able to do that. So.
Oh, yeah, that's lovely. That's lovely. Okay, so as we wrap up, let's talk about the fundraising a little bit. So your goal was 8,000.
Yes.
To build a well. How much money did you raise?
We raised over 17,000. So we were able to only build one well, thank you, but two. And then I believe that additional money went to some other mechanical things that they needed to repair. So, and like Jennifer said, we have to give a huge shout out to Christine Davidson, the English teacher that really spearheaded this. And, you know, we just want to tell schools, we don't have a beautiful theater facility here. It's a cafeteria with a few risers and boxes put together. You know, you can create out of something so small. And all of our fundraisers were very small. It doesn't have to be a huge fundraiser. It was, you know, we started with everybody fill up a water bottle with pennies. And so bring in your water bottles with pennies. And then, of course, we sold tickets to see our performance. And we sold T-shirts of the performance. And, oh, goodness, we...
And the tickets were only like a dollar.
Right.
I mean, we're not talking $10. We're, you know, it was a dollar for a ticket. We partnered with a local icy company here. It was called Kona Ice, but they give a percentage of the proceeds of the snow cones that they sold. They gave a percentage to the fundraiser. So they would pay $4 for a snow cone, got them out of class, fourth block. All kids love that. And they did that several times during the school year. So that was a partnership with a local business that we did. We sold bracelets. The FCA, Fellowship for Christian Athletes, they put together, they sold
silicone
little rubber bracelets for like a dollar, I think. And all the money went towards that. I mean, it was just the little things that the kids got on board. And then we did have, I think, maybe one or two local businesses that gave a larger donation, or a parent. Anytime we had our parents in public, we would speak about this. At my concerts, I would mention it. If someone wanted to donate, they were feel free to do it, because it was a 501c3. It was going through H2O for Life, so it became a tax write-off for them. But I don't think in our wildest dreams we never thought that it would raise that much.
No.
But It was the little things.
Right, right. And all the different clubs and organizations here at the school did their own little fundraiser to make their mark and to donate in some way. And our art department had designed a big water bottle with marks tacked up on it, you know, indicating how much we had raised at any given month. And, you know, it kept filling and filling, and they would color in the line. And then all of a sudden, you know, the water bottle was full, and we didn't even announce, you know, that we had far surpassed what we had intended until the end of the year. And that was so exciting for the students, just to see just the little things can add up and you can make a huge difference.
And for them to actually see the photographs.
Yes.
I think that's what touched the kids the most was, you know, when you give a dollar, you never always see what it's going towards. But when they actually saw the photographs of these villagers standing in front of the well that has the imprint H2O for Life, Northwest Rankin Middle School, and has the year that it was built, that is forever imprinted in that village. That they've left their mark. They left their paw print. And so when they left at the school year in May 22nd was their last day, they said, you know what? I left my mark.
Mm-hmm. They have done something in this world. No matter what they do, no matter where they go, no matter what happens, they've done something good.
Yeah. Right.
And I think it's just so important to really hit home here that you guys did little things. That I think that's where people get really flustered when it comes to fundraising. That it's, oh, I have to do a big event. I have to do this. And I love your notion of that it's small. That your ticket prices are small. That everything we do is small. And then just because it's manageable, and it's and it's easy to picture when it's little things, isn't it?
Right, right. Yeah. Oh, yes. Like we said, we nickeled and dimed all year long.
I also like the whole notion that, you know, what a great way to get all the clubs in school to be on the same page. You know, that's another thing that often divides schools. And like, well, here's something that we all can do. We all can do this together.
Yeah.
And we also went to the football games and had bake sales.
Yeah.
You know, and that was huge. You know, like 50 cents a cookie, a dollar a cookie. But You know, and it was where we went to where the public was, and it was at the high school football games, and we weren't competing directly with the concessions because concessions, they don't sell desserts, you know, so we were selling the desserts. And so the entire community, not only within the middle school, but all of a sudden those high schoolers and the parents of the high schoolers and the visiting teams were getting involved in something within our community mm-hmm. that, you know, they may not over time, hopefully they'll get to see some of the photographs and see it, but it became a community-wide effort that was, it's just forever going to be a mark mm-hmm. in South Sudan that, and there's still struggles going on in the Sudanese areas. And they were so surprised that they couldn't build the well right immediately. We're like, well, we have to be during the dry season, you know, and they only had like a month to build this. And Salva was actually there building these wells. So, I think that's just, it was community.
Yeah. I think that's what a lovely word to end on. I think that's what's really important here. You know, a community within your school impacting your community. Well, that's how the arts survive, I think, yes. is when everybody actually knows what we do right. and the impact of what we do. And I just love this. I love this so much. And I'm really appreciative that you guys were able to sit down with me today and talk about it. And as I said, we're going to make sure that that the book is on our show notes and the play. And so do you guys, is there a summer reading book for this year, or is the school taking a break?
No, it's actually, I don't know, we were just thinking like, how do we top this? You know, and the incoming eighth graders are really excited because they're like, you know, they want to do something big like we did last year. It's called Counting by Sevens. And it's actually being made into a movie right now, I believe. So we're trying to get creative and think what we're going to do with it. But it's a great story as well. So it's got a female this time as our lead. So we'll see where we go from that.
And how awesome. I think, you know, and I think it was really important to mention that sometimes the teachers were also kicking and screaming. But, you know, what a great thing for you guys, too, to sort of breathe life into how you teach things. And right. I just think it's great. Okay, so I think we've established I like this. All right, Emily and yes, Jennifer, thank you so much for talking to me today. It was a real pleasure, and you guys should be so immensely proud, and it's lovely. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Lindsay, so much.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Emily and Jennifer. Ugh, what a fabulous story. Love it. So for any links from this episode, please check out show notes, theaterfolk.com/episode141. Before we go, let's do some theater folk news. Since this podcast focuses on the cross-curricular, I wanted to point out a couple of other places that you can find some cross-curricular. Okay, the word that came to my head was goodies. I'm not sure that's correct, but things, elements, wonderful exercises. So we have episode 107 of the Theater Folk Podcast, which was cross-curricular in the drama classroom with teacher Jeff Pinsky, who was incorporating the Holocaust into his drama curriculum. We have a blog exercise, Writing Your Research, which explores how to get students to theatricalize information. And then we actually have a unit, a cross-curricular unit, Speeches from History. You can find all of this. I put links in the show notes where you can just go and click and go right to these fabulous resources, theaterfolk.com/episode141. Finally, where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every second Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk. And you can find us on the Stitcher app. You can also subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search for the word Theater Folk. And that's where we're going to end. I'm raising my fist in the air. The arts do not have to be isolated. Take care, my friends. Take care.